Amen. You know, somebody might not understand that song, "I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold." Say, why in the world would you rather have Jesus than silver and gold? Well, because we found more value in Him than we found in the dollar. That's why. Right. We found more value in Him than we did in somebody thinking something of us that really just passes with time. So I appreciate that good song. Leads me into where I'm going to go. But before I step that way, Brother Joel Yont tonight has a young lady with him by the name of Teresa Seat. I believe I have that right. And pastor's wife that passed away. And from what I understand, I'm not certain about all the arrangements that there may be moving up to North Carolina. I don't know this, but they're engaged to be married. So he's going to say amen if nobody else does. So I just thought I'd go ahead and point that out to you. Take your Bible, if you would, and go to the book of Titus tonight. Titus. Three books in the New Testament that were directed by the Holy Ghost to an individual. The book of Timothy, the book of Titus, and the book of Philemon. And when you find in the book of Timothy, you find sound doctrine. There is much in the book of Timothy about sound doctrine. And can I say tonight, we still need somebody to preach about sound doctrine in this day. Sound doctrine. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. For doctrine. But when you come to the book of Titus, I think you have more along the lines of sound behavior. Or if you would, maybe I could say along these lines the word godliness. Godliness. The reason I say that is if you look there in verse number 1, the Bible says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Now, I believe we ought to have sound doctrine, but how many of you think we also ought to have sound behavior? We ought to have a Bible that we believe to be right, but we also ought to live what is in the Bible. It shouldn't just be something that what I do is I champion doctrine and then don't have any kind of resemblance of that in my life. I'm going to tell you tonight, we sang about, the song was about how that I'd rather have Jesus. But if you'd rather have Jesus, then Jesus ought to be working not only in your life, but you ought to be becoming more like Him, not less like Him after you've been saved. And so godliness in chapter 1, you have godliness in the church. And then in chapter 2, you have godliness in the home. And then in chapter 3, you find godliness in the world. And I think all three of those can be a challenge. Godliness in the church, godliness in the home, and godliness in the world. How many of you would agree with me? There's a lot of people that don't really care if there's any godliness in the church whatsoever. As long as the crowd is big and as long as the money's coming in and as long as people are comfortable, we don't care if God's here or not. Now, I know that's not true of Tabernacle. We want God here. We'd rather have Jesus. Then there's a lot of people that think, well, it's all right to have God in the church, but having God in the home, that's a different story. Don't really need to have God in our home. We just need to go to church and get our weekly dose of godliness. I think that's wrong as well. I think if God can live in our church, He ought to be able to live in our home as well. And then you say, well, all that's good, but then going out into the world then. I mean, you can't be godly in the world. Well, that's exactly what the Bible says there in verse number 12 of chapter 2, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I don't think you have to look like the world or talk like the world or act like the world when you're in the world. I think you ought to act like somebody is living inside of you by the name of Jesus Christ. So godliness is really at the heart of the book of Titus. And we're going to see that in the coming few days. If you look also this young man, Titus, verse number 4, the Bible says to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, I'm going to say tonight, Titus is a godly young man. How many of you believe that godliness should not just be for a pastor or for a missionary, but godliness should also be for young men and women as well? We have a Christian school. We shouldn't have a Christian school full of people that just say, I've been born again. We should have a Christian school full of godly young men and women. That's what a Christian school should be. All right? There is an idea that, well, what we are is we just kind of go out into the world and we sow our wild oats. And I tell you what, if you sow your wild oats, they're going to come up to harvest one day. You don't sow your wild oats, you live a godly life. And Timothy, or rather Titus, is an example of a godly young man. And I just want to say tonight, we got a lot of young men in this auditorium tonight. A lot of young men. I want to challenge you to be that godly young man like we see Titus. Be a godly young man like Titus. He's mentioned throughout the Scripture. And I want to note a couple of things about him. Number one, if you look there in verse number 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. Titus is an example of the value of a soul. Paul said, Titus is mine own son, but he's not part of his family. He's not blood kin. He is kin by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you look at that just a couple of pages to your right, you'll see what I'm talking about in the book of Philemon. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. Speaking about Onesimus, who would have been a slave, a runaway slave. Verse number 10, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Onesimus and Paul begin to share a cell together, and Paul leads Onesimus to Christ, and he's born again. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. He says, you may have 10,000, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Can I say this? The people you win to Christ, they become very dear to you. When you lead somebody to Christ, they become dear. That's why every time I've seen Gilly in our services, though I didn't bring him to church, though I had very little to do with probably him getting saved except opening the Bible, it is a special blessing to me because I watched him pray and ask Jesus to come in his heart, and he's still here. That's a blessing to me. The people you lead to Christ become an example of the value you place on a soul. In fact, if you would look at this, what it says, put a little mark right there in Titus, if you would, and go with me to 2 Corinthians just a moment. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I believe that Paul loved Titus. Now, we don't know where Titus is from. There's speculation, but we really don't know where he's from. All we know is that he's a Greek. I'll say more about that in a moment. But what we do know is that Christ is in his heart. And Paul says, you're mine own son. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look down at verse number 13. For I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. The Apostle Paul says of Titus, he's not just my son, but he's my brother. And I could find no rest in my spirit because I didn't find him. I'm looking for him. I don't know about you. There are people that I look for when I go back to certain churches that I've preached in. It's always a blessing to see their face. To be able to say, you know, hey, brother, how are you doing? How's your family doing? And those people, when you see them, and there's a bond, there's a connection there. The Bible says that Paul said, I could find no rest in my spirit because I couldn't find Titus, my brother. I love him. He's important to me. Look at it again in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, just a few pages to your right. 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8, 23. Look what Paul says about Titus. Whether any do inquire of Titus, 2 Corinthians 8, 23. If anybody's asking any questions about Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. I would say this. If Paul claimed you to be his partner, I'd say that's a pretty special place. I don't think that Paul just gives that title out very easily or flippantly. If somebody is partnering with Paul,
I think he looks at them as a fellow laborer. And he's saying of this young man, this godly young man, he's my partner. He's my partner and he's your laborer. I value this young man. He's a precious soul, one to Christ. You know what I think? I think we ought to be more involved in seeing more people one to Christ personally. Now, I'm not saying that you should win X number a year. I think that's a bad way to look at trying to win people to Jesus, because Paul doesn't win necessarily Titus to Jesus. He points the way. We don't save anybody, but we can't have a part in it. And when you have a part in it, then it becomes special to you. And this young man, this godly young man, is an example of a value to the soul, which leads me to say this. Are you listening to me? Young people are valuable when it comes to the souls of men. They may not have a nice car, and they may not have a nice job, and they may not be able to put a lot of money into the plate, and they may not have a lot of material wealth, but I'm telling you, in the eyes of God, a young man or a young woman is just as valuable as a wealthy man that has all kind of things to offer. And all I'm saying tonight is, hey, the value of a soul, whether you're young or old, God puts a great value on that. Amen. Amen. That's Titus. Titus is a great example of that. Paul said he's my own son. Now, come on, I know that's not getting to some of us there, but I'm telling you what, when that red-headed boy that just got through singing up here a minute ago, when he was born, I was in that room, and that's somebody that's precious to me. That's my son. I can only say that about one individual. That's my son. All right, I've given him money. You know why? Because he's my son. I've taken him places that I've not taken other people because he's my son. He's on my prayer list, stays on my prayer list. You know why? Because he's my son. He's somebody that's dear. He's somebody that's valuable. When he was singing a minute ago, the words he was singing were such a blessing. And I was rejoicing over this. But there's a part of me as a dad that wants to say, I'm glad he's up there singing instead of somewhere out in a bar somewhere, chasing a dollar bill and skipping out of church. Hey, I'm glad that's my child doing that. You understand? Paul is saying that about Titus. He's my son. He has a special place in my heart. Godly young man. Then the second thing I want you to see is this. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians, in speaking about Titus, gives us another side, or at least another facet, about this godly young man. I think he had some pressure put on him. That pressure was put on him because of his nationality. If you look what it says in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 1, then 14 years ago, after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. So Paul is going to Jerusalem. You can read about that in Acts chapter 15. The Gentiles begin coming to Christ, and there is a debate that's going on. All right, do we allow Gentiles into the body of Christ? We are Jews, they're Gentiles. Should we allow them in? There's this big debate about what is the responsibility that these Gentile believers bear. The Bible goes on to say in verse 2, and I went up by revelation, communicated with them, that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. In Acts chapter 15, there is a mention of certain others. I think that Titus went with Paul to Jerusalem. I think he is an example of a Gentile believer. He's a Greek that got born again. By the way, aren't you glad that God let the Gentiles in? Aren't you glad that he let a Gentile dog become part of the family of God? Well, if it's true, if Titus goes with him to that council, which I believe he does, and while he's there, they begin saying, I tell you what we need to do. We need to circumcise all of these Greeks. And then we need to command them to obey the law of Moses. They need to become Jews. That's why you have the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is written to expose the fallacy that you don't have liberty in Jesus Christ. Hey, can I say tonight, I'm glad that I'm born again and I have liberty in Jesus Christ. I am not under the law. I don't keep the law. I don't have sacrifices. I had one sacrifice, and that was Jesus Christ, and that's the only sacrifice that I need. Amen. All right? I'm not interested in the tribes of Judah or the tribes of Jacob, rather. I'm not one of them. I tell you what, I'm far above that. I'm part of the family of God. All right? There is no Jew. There is no Gentile, no Greek in the body of Christ. So here stands this young, now think about it. This young man is in Jerusalem. And there are men saying, we need this guy, these Gentiles that say they're believers, they need to be circumcised and they need to keep the law of Moses. And the Bible says, what it says here, verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. I think he just said no. He said no. I'm not going to be brought under the bondage that you guys want to put me under. Again, I don't know anything about his daddy. We're not told about his daddy or mother like Timothy. But here's what I do know. He's a Greek, and now he's born again, and somebody's trying to push him underneath the law and under that Mosaic covenant and underneath all those restrictions, those dietary laws and circumcision. And you know what this young man has enough courage to say? I'm not going to do it. I've got liberty in Jesus Christ. I like that. He's an example of a young man that has liberty in Jesus Christ. And I want to say tonight, you young men, and you young ladies, there is a lot of pressure put on you. There is pressure put on you to conform to the clothing styles of the world. There will be pressure put on you that if you don't dress like they dress and you don't listen to what's in the top 20 in the music industry, and if you don't keep up with all the different shows that are on television, and if you don't have a favorite movie star that you're trying to emulate, then you're not really in with the crowd, and there'll be a lot of pressure put on you. There'll be a lot of pressure put on you if you read your Bible in public. There'll be a lot of pressure put on you if you're a witness for Jesus Christ. There'll be a lot of pressure put on you if you refuse to take and let somebody put a bottle of beer in your hand. There'll be a lot of pressure on you. But you're not saying, hey, you know what you ought to do? You ought to choose to be godly. And you ought to say, I'm going to live for Jesus because I've got liberty in Him. I got liberty in Him. I don't have to be like that. I don't have to be brought under that bondage. I don't have to be brought under that. You know, it's so funny today. People talk about how they're just trying to be their own individual and their style and all that good stuff. The other day, I just about laughed out loud. I saw a person who was serving food at a fast food restaurant, a coffee shop. And when they came out from around the corner, they had on tight bell-bottom britches. From back in 1970. Oh, I'm being an individual. No, you're just following a trend that's long ago past and coming back around. And by the way, can I say this? I think bell bottoms are ugly. I thought they were ugly back when I had to wear them. And I think they're ugly now. Oh, no, they're cool. No, they're funny. They look like you got bells on the bottom of your leg down there. No, I'm just being an individual. Don't get pressured that way. Hey, look, you young men, don't be pressured by the world to become what the world is. You enjoy the liberty you have in Jesus Christ. Hey, you've been set free. You've got the Holy Ghost living in you. You've got a name written in heaven, and you've got a mansion there. Don't fall to the pressure of the world. And I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you, they put pressure on that young man at that Jerusalem council. He was outnumbered to the max. He's in Jerusalem, the holy city. He's right in the middle of all that. But you know what he does? He stands fast in the liberty that Jesus gave him. Now, let me say this, though. Liberty is never liberty to indulge the flesh and live in sin. That's what's happened today in the modern Christian movement. They've taken the liberty in Galatians and they've made that a license to go out and drink the same beer everybody else does and wear the same clothes. I'm going to tell you what. You and I have liberty in Jesus, but we don't have liberty to follow after our flesh's desires. So he's a great example of that. He's a great example of that. And then if you look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm just pointing out some things about this godly young man. He's an example of a value of a soul. He's an example of liberty in Jesus Christ. I hope you're living in that liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He's also the example of a young man that's filled with the Spirit of God, a young believer. I'm going to say, I see a row. There's several girls right here and young ladies. I really believe that you ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I think we're afraid of that because of what the charismatic movement has made being full of the Spirit about. The mark of being full of the Spirit of God is boldly speaking for the glory of Jesus Christ. Doesn't have anything to do with strange manifestations. Look at this godly young man. Look what the Bible says about him in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse number 6. And not by his comfort. We'll start in verse 6. I think I said that. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only. So Titus brought them comfort. I think we were singing about that tonight, did we not? You know, the Bible says the Holy Ghost is the comforter in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. I don't think you could miss that this young man is bringing comfort to the Apostle Paul. Why? Because there's comfort inside of him. Then look just a little bit farther and look what the Bible says there in verse 13. Verse 13, it says, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus. How many of you have that in your Bible? The joy of Titus. In other words, Titus had joy on the inside. Now, you young people, you listen. Somebody that's drunk on alcohol does not have joy on the inside. They may look like they're having a good time. And listen, television may portray that as, oh, look at the great time they're having. Have you ever noticed how many crosses are on the side of the highways and roads? Did you hear what somebody requested this past Sunday? Please pray for my neighbor's son that was 24 years old that was killed in an automobile accident. The devil will never show you the other side of a false sense of joy. There is a huge price tag to drinking something that never brings joy, but looks like it causes a great time. I'm going to tell you, there's bound to be somebody here that helped me with this. You drink alcohol and it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you money. And not only that, who in the world thinks that drinking alcohol to the point that you can't remember anything is having a good time? Well, I don't remember what I did last weekend. Well, how can that be a good time? Somebody may have taken and fed you all kind of filth you didn't. I mean, good night. That's like saying, I don't know what I ate, but it must have been good. Probably not. Probably not. But look, hey, you young guy, listen to me. And it bothers me when I see Christian young people that have that sad, sour look about them. You know what the Bible says? You can be full of the Holy Ghost and you can have joy. That's not wrong. The Bible speaks in Galatians 5:22 of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace. There's something down inside that's joyful. Now, listen, there's some that are sour, and then there's some that are totally disconnected from God. They have no connection whatsoever. Look at it in chapter 8. Look at chapter 8. I believe what I want is verse number 13. No, that's not what I want. Yeah, verse number 16. But thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. God put care in the heart of Titus for these Corinthians. Have you read about the Corinthians? I mean, the Corinthians got drunk at the Lord's Supper. The Corinthians had incest going on in families. The Corinthians had women speaking in tongues. The Corinthians had all kind of division in them. And yet he said, God put the care, the same earnest care, into the heart of earnest care. How many of y'all sound like that? He cared a whole lot. Earnest care. I mean, I cannot imagine. Rob, pick me out a young man. Pick me out a young man. Anywhere, from all the whole building. Bryce. All right, Bryce. I cannot imagine Bryce saying, Pastor, I love you so much Is there anything I can do? I've been praying for you. I've been thinking about you. I'm asking God to help you. If he came up and said that to me, I'd say, thank you. If he did that three, four weeks in a row, I'd start to wonder who he's been talking to and what he knows. Right? I'm really concerned about you. And how old are you, Bryce? A 19-year-old comes and says, I'm just so concerned about it. Come on, you adults in here. If you had a teenager come up to you and say, listen, I just want you to know I've been burdened for you for the last 3 weeks. I've been praying for you and your wife. What would you do? Who you been talking to? What do you mean you've been burdened for us? I don't know. God just put you on my heart. I wake up in the morning. I've been praying for you. But now, can I ask you a question? What if your pastor does that to you? Woke up in the morning. I had you on my heart. I was praying for you. Oh, well, he's supposed to. He's the pastor. He's supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God. You know what I say? I say this young man is an example of a young man that's filled with the Spirit of God. And it's not some show. You know what? We've had enough show. Just because you can shout doesn't mean you got God down on the inside. Just because you know how to carry yourself and talk the right talk doesn't mean the Holy Ghost is living here. But I'm saying when God fills the heart, it's going to come out and work that way. And I believe you can be full of the Holy Spirit of God. Titus is an example of that very thing. How many of you like Titus so far? I wish God would send us 200 of them. Really? 200 young women like Titus, an example of liberty in Christ. An example of being Spirit-filled. Last thing I want you to look at there is in chapter 8. Look at verse number 6. And I think this probably is one of the things that I appreciate about Titus, having looked at him as much as anything else. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 6, I want you to look what the Bible says. In so much that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so would he also finish in you the same grace also. Now, we just came through missions conference. We know what chapter we're in, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There is a collection that's being received. The Corinthians are being encouraged to give like the Macedonians did out of their deep poverty. There's an offering that's being collected. And what God is saying about Titus, insomuch that we desired Titus, we chose Titus to come to you to finish the grace of your giving. We sent him to be responsible for the large amount of money that's being given toward the needs of the saints. Come on, how many of you think that young people don't understand the value of money like older people do? Right. But not this young man. Not this young man. This young man is being sent to finish up that grace. And then if you look just a little bit farther down in the passage, the Bible says this in chapter 12. Look at chapter 12. I desired Titus. That's the same thing you read back in chapter 8. And with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? I mean, has there anybody... Have you ever done this? Have you ever had somebody give you money and you spend some of that money and you keep the change? You ever do that? No, you would never do that. Not this crowd. Here, son, here's 15. Here's $20. Okay, I went out and spent. How much was it? Oh, it was 12. Well, where's the rest of the money? I left it in my car. He is saying, listen, the Holy Ghost is witnessing that this young man did not make gain of them. In other words, he didn't take advantage of the position that he was in as a young man to benefit from being the guy that's taking the offering. He's not putting his hand down in the bag. He's not doing something in exchange. In other words, he's an example of a young man that could be trusted. Look how much this young man can be trusted. Go back to Titus chapter 1. I'll finish here. You know, to be trusted, you got to have good character. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter how important you are. If you don't have good character, then people will not trust you. And then if you have great character, you're honest and dependable and all those things, trustworthy, but you don't have the ability, if you're not competent, then nobody's going to trust you either. All right. To be trusted, you have to have character and you have to have competence. Now, look what Paul says to this young man named Titus. Verse 4. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith. Verse 5. Look at verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete. If you read about Crete, not necessarily seen in a very bright light. In the same chapter, it talks about the Cretans being liars. Verse 12. You see that? Liars. Evil beasts. Slow bellies. All right, that's what the Holy Ghost is witnessing of them. And he says, I have left thee at Crete. Now watch. That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Now watch. And ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like to me that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, which is stated right there in chapter 1, that he takes and sends Titus to Crete, and he says, listen, you go to Crete, there's some things that are wanting. There's some problems down there, and I want you to go down there and take care of that, and then I want you to ordain elders in every city. Now, if those are ruling elders, if that's a pastor, that means Titus is touching the next man that's going to lead that congregation. If those are deacons, if those are serving elders, then that means that he is touching men that are going to be following and serving that local church. Whatever he's doing there, it is not of small consequence. It is of major consequence. Come on, how many of you think it's a major choice for a church to choose a pastor? Well, he's telling Titus, I want you to go and ordain elders in every city. How many of you think Paul must have trusted him then? He had to trust him. He didn't just say, well, he's good looking. He's smart. Well, he's well liked. He's got a great person. No. He's trusting this young man. He's an example of somebody that can have responsibility put into their hand. That's what he is. Which one of you young men come up here and finish the rest of the message for me? Here's my Bible. Come on, which one of you? Which one of you going to preach live stream and on the radio and preach and finish out to our congregation? Come on, which one of you? How about one of you go ahead and take it? Well, you got it. Go ahead. You think I'm kidding? Come on. You say, preacher, he didn't know what to say. If he didn't know what to say, I made a bad choice, didn't I? Why do we think you have to be this age to be full of the Holy Ghost, to be an example of liberty in Christ, and to be able to, listen, to be an example of someone that is trustworthy? Why can't you be that when you're this age? Come on, can I ask you a question? Don't we need more people that age that can be trusted? Don't we need more young men and young ladies that are that age that could be full of the Holy Ghost? God help us. Our country, we are in desperate need of that. Instead of somebody that just wants to play games and just wants to put on the show and the face and have everybody pat them on the back. We don't need fake Christianity. We need something real. Because Titus made a difference. Titus was a young man that could be trusted. And he made a difference. I'm not going to do it to you. You can go sit down. But now here's where I want to end the service. That's a godly young man. That's a godly believer. How many of you young men and women would say, I want to be that? I want to be a godly young man, one that can be trusted, one that's able to have an example of liberty in Christ. I want to be a godly young man or young woman.
We're not going to play an organ. I'm just going to let people come if you want to come. Say, God, I need to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be a godly young woman. Until our country starts producing godly young women, our homes will never, they will never, ever be any more than what they are now. They're a mess. They're a mess. Our country is producing young women that are more concerned about how they look and about how popular they are and about what people think about them on Instagram. They don't care about godliness. They don't care. They have no desire to be godly. They have a desire to be accepted. And it will, listen, until we have that in our country, our homes are going to stay broken. Listen, until we have young men that can step up and lead like David and like Daniel and Titus and Timothy, we are going to be wanting for leadership for years to come. But here's an example. Oh, I love Titus. If I could reach in the pages and grab him and hug him, I'd do it and tell him, oh, man, I love you, Titus. I love you. I love you. Well, Lord, you see these young adults that are here on the altar. And Lord, I know this is a Wednesday night. No special service, no revival meeting. All we did tonight, Lord, was look in the Bible at a young man who was a godly young man. I pray you would help them to be that very thing. Help them to be filled not with self and sin, but with the Holy Ghost and the fruit of the Spirit. Help them, Lord, to be examples of people that are unashamed of the liberty they have in Christ, though there's immense pressure put on them to bend a different direction. God, help them to be an example of a young man or a young lady that can be trusted with things of great responsibility and great importance, Lord. Grow them, mold them, shape them. Make them into what they need to be. Help us, Lord. Our churches need it. Our country needs it. Our homes need it. And I pray that you'd help them to be that example. Thank you for this in the Scripture. And we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just let them pray for a little while. Hope that song comes to mind. I am thine, O Lord. Can we sing just a little bit of that while we have these young men and women praying and talking to God about trying to be that godly example? I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy word, and it spoke thy love to me. Amen. That's what we need.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee.
Right.
Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross. Where thou hast died, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord,
to thy precious bleeding side.
Consecrate me now.
Consecrate me now.
Yeah.
To thy service, Lord, by the power of grace
divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord,
to the cross where
thou hast died.
Draw me nearer,
nearer, blessed Lord,
to thy precious bleeding side.
Amen. Anybody fall in love with Titus tonight? You know, I fell in love with Daniel. Preaching in the book of Daniel, that old man dropped down into that lion's den. Oh, he just stepped way up in my opinion. And I'm telling you, the more I looked at Titus, that young man just stepped up in my opinion. God give us more of those. All right. Well, if we could go ahead and have our church conference tonight. I know we're pushing just a little bit after 8 o'clock, and we appreciate that. And our guests that are here tonight, you're welcome to be dismissed if you'd like.